Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how that goes, and we will. Yeah, we just got unmuted, Nate, I tell you. Yeah, so we'll do that. And I've lost my place. So, Nate, why don't you say who you are?
I'm the guy that forgot to unmute the show so you guys could hear what we were actually talking about or what Kelly was talking about. I'm Nate Lindberg. You can find me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg. I rate the NXT hits and misses. I do have one up for tonight already up on pwtorch.com. So check it out if you'd like to do so. And, yeah, we're going to talk some NXT.
It doesn't matter what acronym it is. Not really. Bruce, who are you?
I'm Bruce Lee Hazelwood. And, Nate, you would think that after it happens every single week, you would learn one of these days. But, you know, he just keeps us muted until we're, you know, 3 minutes into discussion. But, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at B_U253. My report on tonight is up, where I was much more positive than usual about tonight's show.
Yeah, there was stuff to like, a lot of stuff to like, I thought, for the second week in a row. Not without weirdness. A pillow should mm-hmm. not count mm-hmm. as a save. Because if that counts, then what then is the mat that is around the ring? Because that's not the floor. That's a mat.
Well, and then technically you also have soles between your feet and the floor, too.
Oh,
you know?
My soul has died after watching that battle royal. It was just everything that they do, that company, and I don't mean the work. The work was actually pretty fine. I just, every WWE trope about battle royals was done in the same battle royal.
Yeah.
They passed through all of them. Let's talk that main event, Women's Battle Royal. If you've watched WWE for more than a minute, you know that if there's only one person who has not been announced and that person is kind of a big deal, they're winning.
Yep.
And so the second Zoe's music hit, you knew she was winning. I knew she was winning. Your mileage may vary.
Thankfully.
Yes, right. There were options that were lesser. But yes, it was a given that Zoe would win. You had your Wendy Chu saved by a pillow. Yikes. You furthered the Alba Fire Lash Legend story. I'm in favor of getting that out of the way quick to give some other people some shine. Does Kiana James deserve the shine? I don't know. I do know. I do know the answer to that. But they did it anyway. And there was just a lot of WWE tropes. If you don't have to go into the ring when it's time for the battle royal to start, why would you ever go to the ring when it's time for the battle royal to start? Why wouldn't you just do what Cora Jade did? Why do they just, when they say battle royal and they ring the bell, there shouldn't be a single person in the ring. Just not one. They're all just waiting for someone else to go for a naturally happening Royal Rumble over the course of the next few years.
Well, the competitor has to hit the ring first, and then they can leave, apparently.
Oh, right.
So, you know.
Well, even then, why don't they all just go to the outside? It's kind of my thing with triple threat tag team matches when you have to tag in. Like, why doesn't the team who's not involved just go beat the hell out of everybody and then tag themselves in and win? It just, yeah.
Yeah, there's no DQ.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Okay, so your new number one contender, Zoe Stark. This is a curveball. I was thinking about all of the people that it could be before tonight, and thinking about what that meant for how much longer I thought Mandy Rose would hold that championship. But with Zoe, I have no idea how they're going to slot her now. I don't know that they're going to make her the champion, or if they're just going to turn her back in a way to keep her strong. I'm genuinely intrigued as to how they're going to handle that one, because I just did not see it coming, and I'm going to need some more time to figure out if I think that there's any chance or if this only ends one way and it's with Nikita Lyons. Bruce, Battle Royal.
I tweeted anyone but Booty Giuliani, and we didn't get Booty Giuliani, so I'm glad about that. Zoe Stark is interesting because before she went down with her ACL, she was doing really well. Fans liked her. She had her pairing with Io Shirai, and then she had the knee injury at a really, really inopportune time. I mean, there's never a great time for those injuries to happen, just ask Tegan Knox. But I'm glad to see her back. She looked to be in great, great shape. She, from what they showed of her during the match, she didn't look like she missed too much. And now, Battle Royal is a great spot to try and work out the rust or the timing issues you might have after a long layoff. But she looked good from what I was able to see during the match while I was also typing out. So it's doing a bit of back and forth. What you said about where they might go with her is the question, because I definitely wouldn't mind, or, you know, if I had my options right now, I would much rather have Zoe Stark be the next women's champion than someone like Nikita Lyons or Lash Legend or even Alba Fire, honestly. I think Zoe Stark is someone who has so much potential but is already a good wrestler that she can be at that level. My other option is that maybe her losing to Mandy Rose in some sort of nefarious way is the door they use to bring back Io Shirai because of their tag team before the injury, and how I believe they were set to win the women's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic until the injury happened. And so I wonder if they don't have her win, would it be an avenue to bring back Io Shirai as kind of her backup, and then have Shirai be the next champion, and then maybe have a feud between those two, maybe a respectful feud based off of just wanting to see who's the best, and then go from there. I guess what I'm saying is I'm really glad to see that that Zoe Stark is back, and I really want to see Io Shirai back too.
Nate?
I'm hoping we do get to see Io Shirai come back. I know her contract is like up in the air right now and we're not quite sure. So I'm hoping she does come back, but at the same token, it wouldn't surprise me if she, you know, decided to head for greener pastures either. So yeah, I didn't see this coming either. Zoe Stark winning, you know, we talked earlier tonight, you know, we said that there were, you know, in our Twitter chat, we said that there were 19 people. You know, we were kind of debating, oh, maybe it's Roxy coming back, you know, or something. We didn't have quite an idea. And Zoe Stark, she's been injured for so long, she's out of sight, out of mind. I didn't see it coming. I didn't even give it an afterthought that she might even be in the match. Of course, like Kelly said, as soon as her music hit and I saw it was her, I'm like, okay, I'd say good 80, 90% chance she's winning this match, where I probably would have given it to Nikita Lyons before that. I'm glad that that's the way it went down. I still don't think Nikita Lyons is ready to be in a main event title like scene yet. I don't think she could really hold that position well where she is currently. The Battle Royal, again, like you said, Kelly, they did hit just about every single trope for a Battle Royal or Royal Rumble. The pillow thing with Wendy Chu was, I don't know, like, during Royal Rumble, I look forward to that spot, especially because, you know, it's usually Kofi Kingston's spot. I look forward to it, look forward to see what he's doing. And I don't know, I feel like it was just such like a bastardization of that spot, you know, just randomly falls on a pillow because, you know, you're the sleepy one. And then you just kind of nonchalantly get back up and roll back into the ring. It was, I don't know, like, I feel like if you're going to do it well. Don't just do it and do it stupidly. Cora Jade, I guess I really like this new version of Cora Jade. It's certainly different than what we were used to. She now feels much more comfortable on the mic. tonight, it didn't even really seem like she was like reciting lines. Like she felt like it was more authentic. Not quite, but a heck of a lot more authentic than, you know, coming off as a baby face. And I'm talking about the opening segment. I think it was the opening segment. No, it wasn't the opening segment. But whenever Cora Jade came out and talked, you know, kind of expressed why she attacked Roxy last week. So, you know, and I think what happened tonight with her, Cora Jade coming out to the ring, bailing, and then trying to come back out right last minute and win the match, I think was probably, you know, in that character's favor. You know, kind of gives us a little bit more of an understanding of what the character's all about and how we're gonna see Cora Jade going forward. But yeah, overall, I'm happy to see Zoe Stark back. I'm glad to see her in the spot that she's in. I think for number one contender, I mean, I wouldn't mind her seeing her, you know, dethrone Mandy Rose. It wouldn't be a bad spot in my head. I guess I'd want to see, you know, what she's like after being off for 8 months, but 8 or 9 months, however long it was. But yeah, I mean, compared to just to what everybody else on the roster right now, I don't know who else I'd want to see in that spot. And I know Zoe Stark, you know, we were talking about that in the past, you know, back in November, October. So I don't know. It could certainly be in the cards.
Let me just add that I do think Tiffany Stratton had a real standout match tonight in the Battle Royal. So I think that if people weren't sold on her yet, I think what she did tonight worked a long way to getting them over on who she is as both a wrestler and a character.
Yeah, and it was a two-pronged attack, her and as well as the production being in the right place in the right time and giving her those superstar looks into the camera. Mm-hmm. It all worked very well. She was well coached and she took it all extremely well and is figuring it out. It continues to be one of the fastest improvement stories.
Yes.
This side of Alexa Bliss. Cool stuff by Tiffany. Okay, let's go to our friend Ryan. This is Ryan in Cumberland. Is I think gonna unmute him. Computers do as they will, folks, but I believe I have Ryan now. Say hello.
Hello.
All right. I don't know. I thought this was two pretty decent shows in a week. Ryan, what'd you think?
Well, I'll say this for my first question. Do you think if NXT could have put on these shows like about 3 years ago, they would have been given AEW more of a run for their money?
I don't know. NXT was putting on a lot of decent shows or better in most of that time. They had their down times, but I just think people were really, really hungry for something that felt new. And even though NXT didn't really at that time have a lot in common with the main roster on WWE, people still lumped it in as the same sort of show. And it just wasn't. And you'd hear people say, I don't watch WWE. I'm like, cool, this isn't like that. I don't watch it either. I watch NXT. So I don't know that they could have moved the needle much. I always thought that NXT's proclivity to just continue to make it faster, 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 faster all the time, I didn't think that was the proper response. And maybe the numbers, maybe the internal numbers say that that's completely false, that I am wrong, that they did have to speed everything up all the time. But I mean, it just seemed like they had no time for entrances, for really getting anybody over at all. It was just action, action, action in your face all the time. I don't know what would have turned the tide. I think a lot of people were just going to embrace the shiny new toy regardless. And I'm not saying that like trying to be disparaging to AEW. I just think fans were hungry for something that felt big, that was an alternative for a really long time. I just thought it was not as much of an alternative when it came out as people thought. It seems different now, but I didn't think so early on. Anyway, that's way too big picture stuff for what you asked. Let me throw to Nate.
So I believe the question, if I'm not mistaken, was if they were putting on shows like this, would they have given AEW more of a run for their money?
Yeah,
because I don't remember NXT being quite focused on Beautiful Woman, debuting a bunch of new characters like debuts, and I just thought there was a lot of stuff going on that would maybe hold people's interest.
I am going to say probably not. I feel like the viewership for NXT 2.0 has probably dropped off, and I feel like a lot of the fans that I don't know. I want to say like me, who were like diehard Black and Gold. You know, I miss that Black and Gold brand. I still do. I was even thinking about it tonight. I'm like, we're coming up on a year of NXT 2.0, and the 2.0 arena still seems so foreign to me because I don't know. I miss the full sale NXT Black and Gold arena. But I personally don't think that this would have given AEW more of a run for its money. I think it probably would have actually drove people to AEW a bit more because all of a sudden people are going to look at NXT and like, and even, I mean, this is even the perception that I've been seeing online right now too. It's like, oh wow, NXT, it's all back to tits and ass again. And like wrestling used to be, and people not taking it seriously and things like that. Obviously you do have quite a few people that, are tuning in to see, Nikita Lyons and her assets and things like that. But overall, I don't think that this would have been an AEW killer. I think, like Kelly said, people were so hungry for an alternative at that time that no matter what WWE did with NXT, I think AEW would have blown up. They would have had to do some major things with NXT, like bring John Cena and The Rock to NXT or something, maybe not quite like that, but something big like that in order to get people to more people to tune in NXT than AEW.
Bruce.
I mean, they tried that with the whole Survivor Series edition, but didn't do much for NXT at the time, if I remember correctly. As Nate was saying, when it comes to having AEW was the alternative that the people were seeking, if he were to put this show on at the same time that AEW debuted, or if this show had been going on, then the show is even more of a contrast to the alternative that AEW could have been towards what NXT is now. So I think the disparity would have been even larger. But beyond that, I don't have anything else to add.
Yeah, that Survivor Series thing was weird. I thought the only thing it accomplished was stifling the very strong stories that they had going for War Games. And I panned that episode where they just stopped War Games stuff and went right to Survivor Series. And man, there were a couple of big mad guys in the comments that were mad that I did not like that episode. One of them just like, you hate it every week. Why aren't you watching AEW? Like, you're obviously a big fan. And I'm like, first of all, I don't watch AEW. Second of all, I am embarrassingly positive about NXT. Like, I write it and I'm like, should I soften this? I really sound like a shill. I sound like a shill all the time. Yeah, but if I took 1 week off from really praising everything, there'd be this guy, you hate it so much. No, I sure don't.
If we hated it, we wouldn't be covering it. That's,
yeah. Yep. And if I hate it at times now, I want it to get better. All right. We got three more callers on here. So I'll take a couple more here though from Ryan. Ryan, what do you have?
I got a question on Mandy Rose. They're talking about her being one of the longest running NXT women's champions. Where do you guys think it could be Gigi or JC that takes the title from her? Because they weren't in the battle royal tonight, but maybe as time goes on, they might get a little bit jealous like Cora Jade did.
It's not going to be JC.
Yeah, I hadn't given that any thought. And I guess the reason is I've been expecting Toxic Attraction for when it happens to go up together. They don't do that all the time. They don't do that nearly all the time. But I thought this was a faction that had a chance of going up as a trio. And they have the need on the main roster for some injections of just female talent that is not stale in some way. Props to Carmella for always being willing to step into that spot. But man, have we seen that a lot. They could use some work up there. I hadn't given it any thought. I don't know why Bruce said it won't be JC, but he's right. It won't. I guess probably for the same reason I wouldn't. She's just not. She's just not. It could be Gigi. She just pops a lot more.
Yep. Not just because of the hair.
Right. There's a presence that she exudes that JC's just, if it was going to be there, it would probably be there by now. And man, that sounds so negative. I'm sorry. But, you know, role players, you need them.
Hey, you brought up Alexa Bliss. It took her months before she found her character, so maybe she's going to take JC Jane a little longer. Maybe she's being stifled by this gimmick. Who knows?
Yeah. I do NXT 8 years back, and we're at the beginning of Alexa's run right now. We've seen we've just seen three of her matches so far, and they just gave her an inset promo on a match before a match with Sasha Banks, who she just beat with a roll up. And this was the rematch, and Alexa's first talking point was, "Sasha, last week you felt the sting from my bling. In the ring you felt the sting from my bling." And I was like, I cannot believe Alexa Bliss happened after that line. That is horrifying. They just made her rhyme the whole time. So not only was she a pixie, she was a rhyming pixie. That's what Alexa Bliss was, folks. Don't know. I'm off the rails, and we got too many calls to get off the rails, but that's where we are. I will say that I don't think it will be Gigi or JC, but if they exhaust who they want, if I think it would be some call-ups that would change that. Like it in their minds, it's probably either Zoe, Nikita. Seemed like there was a third. Now I can't think of who it is.
Maybe Tiffany.
I guess, because Tiffany could lean babyface and be kind of that, you know, kind of irritating but lovable babyface. You could do any of them. But if they ended up being called up, yeah, I guess it could be somebody like Gigi. Bruce, I gather we got what you thought, but anything else? Cool. Not the best color man in the business for nothing, folks. Nate.
I really don't have anything to add. I hadn't really thought about either JC or Gigi being the one to take the title off of Mandy. I unless they did some sort of a heel or a turn where one of them, you know, turns on Toxic Attraction or whatever. And it was like an intriguing story. I don't think either one of them are at the level right now to be a credible challenger for her.
All right, Ryan, let's do one more.
Yeah, a quick question on this JD McDonagh. He's talking about ripping up and destroying Braun Breaker's shoulder. Is there something about his history that can make the fans believe that he can do that? Like, was he like a mixed martial arts fighter, or like a great amateur wrestler? Like a great street fighter, like something, you know, that we can buy that will actually happen.
If there's something in his past to suggest that, I have not seen it. He can dissect an opponent. He's a great, great wrestler. He can wrestle quick. He can also wrestle stiff. I think that they are just using, this is kind of a refresh because he was not a total refresh. He's got actually the same music, which I found surprising, with the name change and with the slight change in who he is. He remains heel. I believe that is the only way for this guy to play it. He's very good at that too. I think that we're supposed to believe this just because he's so confident in it. I don't know that there's anything to point to in the past, and they're not referring to him as a former cruiserweight champion. They're not referring to the cruiserweight championship at all, which is usually what they do when they get rid of a championship. So watch and listen to see if they talk about the women's tag team championships next week, but I will assume they're not going to. I don't know of anything there. I think we're just supposed to buy into it because they brought him in with such fanfare, Bruce.
So I could be wrong, but I think he does or has trained jiu-jitsu in the past. But either way, what they're doing right now with his character, obviously is trying to get over to us that he does have some kind of, if not intimate, a more intricate knowledge of the human body than we, the layperson, might have. And that's what the whole mannequin and everything in the back was for tonight, in my opinion. And so, he's a good wrestler. There's no doubt about that. He's a pretty good promo. I think tonight was a little bit too much of the, I need to try and act like the cool, unbothered guy. And it was a little too forced. But when he was just kind of himself in UK, he was doing pretty well with his promo. So I think that'll be fine. The thing to me here is they did give him the win against Grimes, but they didn't give it to him clean necessarily. So is there going to be another match between them, a blow-off match, or is that just going to be the one-off that leads to Grimes going with Gacy or Grimes feuding with Gacy, whatever it might be, and now McDonough's firmly entrenched against Breaker as the next challenger? It'll be interesting to see, because if he's the next challenger for whatever the SummerSlam PLD is going to be, then there's a bit of time between now and, what, 2 or 3 weeks. So there could be another match or two that he does that maybe closes off or sets something up for after. So I guess that's where I'm looking at. Like I said last week, if you bring him in like this and then you don't have him beat Breaker, then what was the point of bringing him in like this in the first place? So do I think he should be the one to beat Breaker, though? I'm really not sure at this point. I think I need to see how much more his character develops over the coming weeks.
Nate?
So I don't know anything about him, you know, his past or anything like that, that, you know, made me think, you know, he could, tear apart Bron Breaker's shoulder or anything like that. But, I'm kind of in the camp of Kelly, you know, we're just kind of supposed to buy into it because they're telling us they're supposed to buy into it. That's kind of where I am there. On the character itself, like I'm intrigued. I'm kind of like curious to see where this character goes. I feel like they definitely have some, they have an idea of where they want him to go and they have some plans for him, you know, whether it be to brush elbows with Bron Breakker or not, you know, I don't know. But at least at this juncture, like, I don't see him as championship material. Now, granted, this was his first match as JD McDonagh. So he's got some time where we can, you know, buy into him a bit more and maybe he will become, you know, or he'll feel like somebody that could be challenging for the NXT title. But as of right now, I don't know. Like, I need to see more before I can buy into that.
All right. Well, thank you, Ryan. As always, we are going to go to Baltimore and talk to our friend, Reverend Keith, that we haven't heard from in a few weeks. Keith, how are you doing? How'd you find the show?
I'm doing fine, gentlemen. I just wanted to mention that I thought it was a good call to have Zoe go over in that main event. I was starting to put one and one together, and when I noticed the QR codes, I said, oh, maybe she's ready to return. And in my opinion, she's one of the more underrated women on the NXT roster. So I do strongly believe that she will give Mandy a run for her money. And as Doc Bruce alluded to earlier, I think this is a means of getting Io Shirai back on screen. I'm happy for Zoe, and I'm looking forward to the title match that's to come. Now, shifting gears, and then I'm going to make this short and brief. I'm waiting to see the Diamond Mine truly implode, because this Roddy Strong banner and tantrum every week is getting old. You know, it's kind of funny because he comes up with every means imaginable to try to blame them all the time, and he never looks at himself. So it's just a matter of time. And on the women's side, you can tell that they're about to branch Ivy now away from the Diamond Mine. So what are your thoughts on the evolution or repackaging of the Diamond Mine? And I'm going to let you guys go, because after listening to Ryan, I'm tired. And I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for taking my call.
This guy. we thank you for the call, as always. Keith, yeah. So, first of all, on Zoe. You know, I say when there's not one guy who when there's one person who isn't announced, they always win, and that's Dahl. That said, this time that was the correct way to go. It's way more intriguing than any of the options that they had available, other than potential heels like Tiffany. But I think that they went the right way also. The Diamond Mine thing I also thought was getting a little bit old, but I thought they bought a little time this week with the change and with the tease that now there's a little less trouble in paradise. Like, Roddy's still being a jerk to the other guys, but he also kind of did a little rah-rah for the team when they got attacked. You know, I would predict that this was him going to the D'Angelo family if I thought that Roddy had the acting chops to pull it off. But, like, seeing Roddy trying to be some kind of gangster, actually, I do want to see it just because it would be so funny. that would be – oh, that would be a car crash, folks. I thought that they bought a little time doing that. I also liked the relative subtlety of the move of Damon Kemp just trying to get in one sentence and Roddy literally waving him off. Also, Julius Creed is awesome.
Yep.
When the first time that the Creeds were able to talk, they weren't great, and Brutus was the better one.
Yep.
Kind of by a lot. Julius seemed a little lost. He has taken to it like a horse to water. Brutus is still fine, but Julius is just a monster on the mic, as well as in the ring. I can't say enough about how much I liked the fire in his promo. It might have been my favorite part of the show. I will carry water for that dude. I'm going to die on the hill of Julius Creed. Okay. What did you guys think of the Diamond Mine, and did they get away with it, or is it getting old, Nate?
It's okay. So it's starting to get a little old. Matter of fact, what Keith was saying was exactly what I was thinking tonight when Roddy was kind of blowing up backstage. And when he stormed off after blowing up on the rest of Dynamite, he stormed off and he just let out this, "Damn it!" And it was the funniest thing I think I've heard like in a while. It was like the tone of voice. And just, again, his acting chops, it was like, damn it. And, oh, man, it just sounded like a toddler having a tantrum or something like that. I wrote about this in the Hits and Misses tonight for, like, God, it seems like 2 months now. I've been like, okay, this has got to be it for Diamond Mine. Oh, man, this is it for Diamond Mine. Oh, you know what? This is it. This is it. This is the end for Diamond Mine.
Kind of like Kelly predicting Cameron Grimes being called up.
Right.
I'm right this time. I swear.
Or Tom trying to predict Shayna Baszler losing the NXT Women's Championship.
Yeah.
You know? That's how I felt about this. And I felt like tonight was going to be it, you know, where we had Roddy and Damon Kemp against each other. I felt like Roddy was going to do something to, you know, piss Damon off and show that he's, you know, not loyal or whatever, which he kind of did when they showed that D'Angelo and Legato were beating down Diamond Mine backstage, you know, Roddy, rather than allowing him and Damon to go back together, Roddy took out Damon Kemp so he could get the win and then go back and blame Damon Kemp for not getting there faster. So it was all like, it all kind of worked. But I'm curious to see like where this goes. I feel like the implosion of Diamond Mine is imminent, but I don't know when, because just every time I think it's coming, it doesn't actually happen.
Bruce.
So I think Roddy Strong may have had the performance of the night, because look, what you're all talking about, let me just put it in two words. Expert gaslighter. That is what Roderick Strong's character is right now. Not with how he, you know, is sort of manipulating the Creed brothers, but tonight when he uses the distraction of D'Angelo attacking the Creed brothers to nail the leaping knee to Kemp and then make the pin, and then immediately get out of the ring and say, come on, we got to go save them. And Kemp is just struggling, just stumbling out of the ring to the back. And then he gets back there, and Strong is berating the Creed brothers for getting attacked and saying, even though it's 4-on-2, you should be able to take them out. And then Kemp comes up, asks how they're doing, and Roddy goes, what took you so long? And Kemp says, oh, that knee. And Roddy goes, I know, I'm the one who hit you with it. And I just started cackling at that line, because it's just a perfect encapsulation of the character of Roderick Strong right now, because he is the abrasive, gaslighting asshole who even in enjoying his handiwork comes off as this abrasive a-hole. And so I thought it was well done. Julius Creed, I wrote tonight, commanded the screen like no one else tonight, and maybe in a long time in NXT. When he made that challenge, I couldn't draw my eyes away from what he was saying and the look on his face, the intensity. He is, yeah, Brutus was better at first. Then he plateaued a bit on the mic, and Julius has just kept improving. And look at him now. He's going to be Julius is always the one I thought was better in the ring, but now that he has the promo skills going too, if they break them off at some point, he's definitely the one that's going to be earmarked for some kind of singles push immediately because of his skills. It's interesting he brought up Ivy Nile as well, because I wrote that it seems like they're trying to quietly phase her out of Diamond Mine and just kind of, but then Tatum Paxton's whole thing was to get into Diamond Mine. So I don't know if they're kind of just trying to make this into we're going to turn into a tag team now, separate from everything, just us two, because we have begrudging respect for each other. Tatum Paxton did the most infuriatingly dumb babyface move of eliminating herself from a battle royal for a chance at a championship, but I digress. So yeah, I'm not sure if it's gone on too long, but I do think the end date needs to come sooner rather than later.
Yeah, when she did that dumb thing, Tatum Paxley, that's you would have loved to see what Ivy Nile's reaction was. The camera was looking right at her. She just didn't have one. Ivy has plateaued in some ways too. Yeah, you don't have, not everyone has to talk.
Yep.
Loomis didn't, and he was super over.
He didn't talk for a year.
Mm-hmm. There, you don't have to make Ivy Nile talk if she just isn't up for it at this juncture. Okay. I have not seen this phone number in a while, but folks, Darrell from Georgia is here. Darrell, how are you doing?
How are y'all guys doing tonight?
What's up, Darrell?
Yeah.
Long time no talk, my friend.
Really good to hear from you, man.
Yes, sir. Just tuning in. Had to call in because I tuned in to see finally they was going to reveal my guys, but, you know. Yeah. But it was okay.
Yeah.
So the thing that I want to ask, and the question is, and by character changes, I know we got the new names of people who names they created and stuff like that, gimmick changes or whatever. How do you guys feel about the Druid and the change that they made for those young men?
I, first of all, let me say, I think fewer people on the brand were less in need of a character refresh than these guys. I feel very much the same way I did when Dakota Kai found her awesome heel persona, and then there was new management, felt like they had to change a little bit of everything, and they said, let's make her crazy, even though she's not really that kind of performer, and she has this awesome heel thing going. I didn't think it was necessary. I thought the reveal was kind of okay, but at this point, a given, because even with the few clues they gave us, there really wasn't anyone left.
Dante Chen.
Right, Boa and Dante Chen. and a kid. There weren't a lot of, but they had told us they were champions, that they had held gold. So that kind of narrowed it down. So my bigger issue with this particular one and others that they've done in the past is, does the name fit what you're going for? And I can't imagine how you come up with Rip Fowler for this character. Like this, he's this weird goth. He's got the one creepy eye thing that is kind of overused and stuff, but whatever, they're doing it. And then shaved to kind of look like a baby. But this gaunt, evil figure, and you call him Rip Fowler. He sounds like a center fielder from the 1800s.
Yeah.
I don't know how you land on Rip Fowler. What's the other one? Jagger Reed. It's closer. It's better. I don't love it. But I also don't know why Zach, one of the best talkers in NXT, is having his talking done for him by Joe Gacy, one of the most average talkers on NXT. Like, he plateaued on day one. He gave a promo, and his promos don't sound any different now than they did on day one. It makes no sense that he is... I mean, this is extremely low rent Wyatt family. That's what it looks like. This is Etsy Wyatt family. I don't know what else to call this. Name changes I'm fine with in a vacuum. But there are a lot of bad ones. There are a lot of dumb ones. Some are too on the nose. And one like Rip Fowler is just so far from where I would have gone. And this guy needed to be named Damien or something. They have a Damien already. Uh-huh. Never mind. I don't watch the main roster. I haven't thought of Damien Priest in months. Okay. Bruce.
Yeah. So I do think I'll give them some positives here, at least, that they did a lot to try and differentiate the look and feel of the two characters of who they were as Grizzled Young Veterans, because there's no facial hair on Gibson. They both have different colored eyes. They both have two different colored eyes. And it looks like Gibson, one of them is a glass eye, kind of like Kane would have. And so they at least did that. I think... the justification, or at least the whatever Gacy said as the reasoning for them to go under his wing, I guess I would appreciate it more if it wasn't Gacy that were going under, because they were champions without him. He hasn't really won anything. Yes, their characters were floundering in the sense that they were pretty much stuck at where they were going to be as who they were. Even though, you know, Gibson is one of the best talkers they have, the gimmick just was going to be what it was, kind of like Imperium, I think. They're kind of just in a spot where they were going to be what they were and nothing more, which is unfortunate because they are talented. I've long been a fan of James Drake. I think he's one of the more overlooked wrestlers within WWE and NXT specifically. So I'm wondering what this will do to due to their style mostly, because I think Gibson's style will transition smoothly to this kind of a character in wrestling, but Drake was more of the flippy guy, the quick guy, and that can still kind of work, but it doesn't seem like this is a type of character that would do that. And so how his style shifts according to this character is going to be something that I want to keep my eye on. And then the other thing too is it seemed like Breaker went away from the whole inclusive BS gimmick for his feud with Bron Breakker, and now they're kind of going back to it. And I thought that gimmick could have been left in the past, and for them to bring it back as he's sitting there discussing them not having to worry about their past anymore is a bit ironic. But also, I just don't think this whole inclusive thing is going to work, because it hasn't worked in the past, and I don't see any reason why it's going to work in the future.
Yeah, it's just a way for somebody who's writing this to take a swipe at people that they find mm-hmm. difficult to deal with.
Like me.
Yeah, they're just vilifying something that is not intrinsically evil. Just trying to make it like, it seems like they're trying to do what they think Antifa is. I don't know. It's kind of embarrassing. I thought it was really embarrassing early on when he was hitting like every buzzword, mm-hmm. On the table, but, yeah, hopefully they don't feel the need to go back. Nate.
So I don't have a whole heck of a lot to add, because I'm pretty much in the same camp that you guys are in. I really don't feel like GYV needed an overhaul at all. They were, a perfectly great tag team. They were one of the better tag teams, both in the ring as well as their overall gimmick and everything. So I don't know. I feel like this is going to take the legs out of them, or out from under them, probably make them feel less important. I don't know. I don't want to completely poo-poo it, because I really like GYV, and I don't want to, like, I don't know. I want to like what they're doing. So it's like, I'm going to give it another couple weeks here, but gut instinct goes, this is a bad move. I feel like, Bruce was saying, what is this going to do to their in-ring style? Is it going to alter their in-ring style? I feel like it probably will. They're probably going to try and wrestle a little bit slower and more plotting to kind of fit their character, which isn't, I don't think is really going to benefit them, especially in a 2022 wrestling environment where everybody wants flippy stuff. So who knows? We'll kind of see where that plays out. I don't know. And again, with the name changes, like Rip Fowler, oh my God, it's so bad. I feel like you could give the name Rip Fowler maybe to Butch, if you didn't want to call him Pete Dunne, that I feel like that might be better than Butch for that character.
Fits. Yes.
You know, like that would have been great. But for this character, like, I don't think it's a bad wrestling name. I don't think it's a bad wrestling name, but not for this character. It would have been like taking The Undertaker and calling him Marvin. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So yeah, that's all I get to say about that.
Indeed. That would have been great. And then have Paul Bearer go from, with his old name. So they're Marvin and Percy.
Percy.
Oh my God. Yes.
Or Marvin
Percy Pringle. Oh boy. Good stuff, folks. Good stuff anyway. Darrell, what else do you have?
Yeah, I just wanted to hear what you guys had to say about that. I just, especially after me watching Resident Evil on Netflix and being disappointed and things of that, just seeing things that I've liked in the past be destroyed, it hurts your heart sometimes. It hurts your heart, especially.
That's how I feel every Tuesday.
Especially when I don't think they know what gimmicks are. Gimmicks are not the name that you're giving, especially when you're not giving people real names. And it's not what you wear. It's not the look. The gimmick is supposed to be a trick or something that you use, a device that you use, to garner attention. Like Steph Curry gimmick will be shooting 40-foot three-pointers. That's the gimmick that draws him attention.
You mean to tell me saying my catchphrase over and over again isn't a gimmick?
No, it's not. It's just a catchphrase. A gimmick would be like Kiko Alonso from the Nets, from the Mets, winning the home run derby. They know him for hitting home runs and stuff like that. None of the people in, from what I've been seeing and why people always say, well, NXT has failed and stuff like that, is because under the old man of Vince, only thing that he know about giving gimmicks is about giving people either job titles or crazy names, what people calling somebody something that that people degrade or call somebody as. And those don't be gimmicks, and you wonder why people don't become stars, and then they blame other things the sort. But I just hate what they did to some guys, and A-Kid, instead of you calling him A-Kid, you call him X-em and put him up underneath a mask and say that he likes solving equations, which makes no sense. What does that have to do with anything in the ring? How can you tell a story about somebody liking to solve equations? A real life story. And I think that's one thing that's missing. We don't have real life stories, and it's hard to tell real life stories with the people that they have. But it was good talking to you guys again, man. I be listening to the shows when they get posted. So, hey, I've been keeping up with you guys.
Well, that is good to hear. And we thank you very much, as always, Darrell, for calling. Kiko Alonso, a linebacker, he could probably hit some out. Like, he could probably hit a couple home runs if he can catch up to the speed. I mean, it's a specialized thing. But the dude's got the power. Now I wonder if he and Pete Alonso are related. But I couldn't tell you for sure. So we're going to go to our final caller, that being Sean. Sean, if you got yourself unmuted, go ahead and say
hey. Oh, yeah, I'm unmuted. I'm going to go. I never do the MMA Torch stuff first, and that's a great disservice to the Torch family. I'm going to go through the Instagram. You can find us on MMA Torch Official on Instagram, on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can find us at MMA Torch. And you can find me, myself, at Sportacus Live. That's like, it's like Spartacus, but like with sports, like board license plates. Distinct sentence. If you're too young for that, we'll ask you. This is Sportacus Live. So send all your hate to Sportacus Live. Don't send it to the MMA Torch stuff.
Oh, my son is also named Bort.
Right? Are you talking to me? Yeah. Okay. So the group of young veterans, they came and y'all just talked about it. Crazy was, since Joe Gacy was talking to him, I was thinking, no way they're going to change Cameron Grimes, are they? Like, is that where he's headed? Because I don't know if I really want to roll with an NXT that's just throwing everything at the wall. And if you saw the Battle Royale, which we all did, they just – do they have a filter? What's going – are they changing Cameron Grimes' name for one? First question.
I think not. It seems like the kind of name that Vince would like. And it also is their name. Like, that is not – a lot of the guys in black and gold came in with their own recognizable names because that's just the way Triple H wanted to do things. But he's not one of them. He didn't come in working under the Trevor Lee. God, how soon we forget. Okay, Trevor Lee. He the name that he used to use, it is there, so – I mean, we know that they'll change a name multiple times until they land on the one that they like, and there will be no obvious differences in level of quality between some of those names sometimes. I can only say that Cameron Grimes feels like the nasty sort of name that they want this character to have, regardless of what they want to do with this character.
You're missing the big one, Kelly. You're missing the big change they could do. They're going to turn him into a Southern rapper in honor of Cameron Giles and Cameron Grimes. So, yeah, there we go.
They could. Keep it Grimes so somebody else can say, or Grimy, as he likes to be called.
Cameron Grimy.
That is what they need to do.
You think it's
Cameron Grimy
to get off NXT?
I would shock myself to get them. He might have to electrocute himself to get noticed and then get on the main roster.
I'm just glad I could put a Cameron reference at the show tonight. So,
right. Knock, knock. Who's there? Killer Cam. Oh, God. Okay. We're hitting all the pop culture references tonight, folks.
Wait till the Nikita Lion stuff comes up.
Does it have to come up? I mean,
no,
you know,
it doesn't.
What, I just want to know, look, I like her because here's the thing. I made a joke in a group chat about it, but she's not Sable, at least. I mean, like, people backstage hated Sable. Like, I said, I can think of, you know, there's two reasons, something about two reasons to like Sable, but Nikita Lyons has at least three, and that's one more than anybody likes from Sable. So she's not Sable. So, I mean, but she's got so much more to offer than just that. I know it's not put together in the ring, but at least she's not her. But why is she the Black Power Ranger from the original Power Ranger series?
She's not, I don't know what she's, what's she wearing
she's
today? Like all of her gear. Yeah. I don't know. She looked like,
she's doing a Cody Rhodes cosplay.
I actually thought she looked like a partially unwrapped roll of cookie dough.
Is that meant to sound sexy or not?
I did not see that coming.
I don't know what else to say. I don't understand who saw the gear and was like, yeah, this is it.
Did you see the gear? Did you see the part where the cookie dough was filling up?
I'm not lying.
I heard her talking. I was falling in and out of sleep because I'm on medication. That's my excuse from now on. but I heard her talking and I put my hand over my face so I purposely could not see what she was wearing, and I just saw her face. I was like, oh, it can't be that bad because, you know, I can see from the top. I can see from her neck that it's not that bad. And it was all bad. I was like, damn. I was like, how do you find new ways to have somebody bust out of a top? Busting out of the side, the bottom, the top. The person in wardrobe's a genius for finding new ways, but why is it so cheesy? Can we just talk about
why
she's
alluring?
So
I mean, she is cheesy, and that's the weirdest thing about her. Like, she's supposed to be a badass, but she comes to the ring, sings her own song, and then
she does
80 pieces of choreography. It's so not clarified. And then
she talks
to the camera today and then did her big kick into the camera. It's so silly. It is very silly. I mean, it's
part
gimmick
of me thought it was
kind of
cool. I tell you this, she's perfect for GLOW when she was on that series. You know, but like if she was on actual back in the day GLOW, yup, I get it. That's exactly why I watched GLOW. It was cheesy. I liked the gimmicks. I was like, yeah, let's go. You know, so I get it. But man, you can't be doing that in 2022 because I just think you're a Power Ranger. It's weird.
Yeah. And
it's funny you bring up the Gold Ranger because that's what Axiom was tonight.
Right?
Hey, I like the Gold Ranger, my favorite. We're talking about when he was played by the triplets or when he was played by
Jason.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
All right.
I'm a nerd.
Maybe they'll find ways to have him show off his body. So, you know, get that same person who does that gear.
He looks really small. And is that why they put him behind the mask? Because they want to give him more of a presence? Because he is really small. He's tiny.
He's a good-looking dude.
Yeah, that
no,
is,
he is.
That
well,
part of it is.
I
odd.
Just think maybe they give
so
him more Peyton. Present.
Yeah, it's. I do think that this is the trying to capture the essence of like a Mysterio or somebody like that, or or at the very least, like a Sin Cara or a Kalisto.
It's the reverse Andrade with him.
Yeah, I guess that's the plan tonight. He beats Dante Chen, proving they're not the same guy. But Dante Chen is all things and all people at all times. Dante Chen is all of us.
But will it work? That's my question to you guys. Can the A-Kid actually, I'm sorry, Axiom actually work with their own homegrown built Rey Mysterio? Can he really go that far?
That far, I'm going to say no, not a chance. But I think he can work. And I think tonight was a really surprisingly strong step in that direction. It seems like there's a new attack on the moveset. You know what? Bruce had a lot to say about it. Let me just throw to Bruce.
Yeah, I just thought it was – that was unexpected. Right in the middle of me trying to stifle a cough. Hold on real quick. Let me stifle this cough.
Of course.
It was the presence of Gigi Dolan that got him coughing.
There you go. I guess he's still coughing. You know, then we brought up Gigi Dolan, and we made it worse.
I clicked unmute, but it did not actually unclick for some reason. No, it wasn't Gigi Dolan. That's for sure. So this match, beyond the fact that I was excited to see Dante Chen, I just thought that it was a well-worked match, and I think what it did more than anything else was show just how smooth Axiom, former A-Kid, is in the ring. There are just a lot of spots here that Chen's not the most experienced wrestler, but with how smoothly everything went, you would think that these were two wrestlers who have been wrestling each other for years and years and years. It was just a really, really good match. And one thing I did like about Axiom was his finisher. It was a leaping pump super kick. And I wrote that during the match, he kicked Dante Chen, not in the mouth, but in the mouth, M-O-U-F. So I think Axiom is on a good – I think this was a great start for Axiom, considering how NXT does these debut matches. They're usually never squashes unless it's a big man or a big woman. So considering how they usually have some kind of offense given to the debuting or re-debuting superstar, I think this was about as good as a debut match or a re-debut match you could have asked for this character. He also didn't seem to be uncomfortable in the mask or the getup or the gimmick. One thing I do question is, will the time phasing, the super speed entrance that they have for him, will that work or will it grow into something that people view as cheesy? When John Morrison first started doing his slow-mo entrance, there were some people who thought it was dumb, but it's grown into sort of his signature, and he keeps doing that. When Rey Mysterio started jumping out of the pod, I thought that was pretty cool, but not everyone liked it. And so I'm wanting to see if they stick with this entrance for him, and if not, what they do to try and get over the fact that he is this person that basically thinks faster than you can move or you can blink.
Nate, on Axiom versus Dante Chen.
So I'm kind of sold, I think, on Axiom. I'm not.
Oh yeah.
Like the whole mathematics thing is a little weird, but I guess, you know, from Bruce kind of made it just make sense to me. You know, he thinks faster than he can move, and you know, or what or most normal people can move or whatever. So you know, whatever. I mean, it's kind of an interesting gimmick. We don't get many like luchadors, and when we do, they're not usually taken seriously unless they're named Mysterio. So, you know, it's,
and at least he's Spanish and not, you know, Nigero or something.
Yeah, right. So yeah, I'm curious to see where this goes. He's like clearly a phenomenal talent. I mean, I was kind of blown away by some of the stuff he was doing tonight. I haven't really seen much A-Kid. Like, I think really all I've seen is the one match that he's had in NXT, and then, you know, some various highlights and stuff in GIFs on, you know, Reddit or whatever. But yeah,
man, his British round stuff was really, really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm sold. I'm sold. I think it's a good spot for him. I mean, as a kid, I don't know if he would have kind of floundered in the mid card or something like that. I'd like to think not, but at the same time, you know, his size might have worked against him, even though he's a fantastic wrestler. You know, he's a good-looking guy. I think this Axiom gimmick has some potential here. The entrance, I'm not sold on. I think they can do some work with it. It's so weird, right? In every single camera angle in NXT, on Raw, on SmackDown, on a pay-per-view, it's always shaky. And then you get his entrance, and it's just one fixed camera that doesn't move, and it looks weird compared to every other shot in the rest of the show. So I don't know. I think they have to maybe tweak it a little bit, but I'm not like down on it. I wish
Tom was still here so he could tell us what it looked like live, because that was definitely a taped entrance.
It was either a taped entrance or 3D
or something.
Well, what I'm thinking is maybe they did something where it was like on a delay. So like
It looks like the exact same thing, because since he's supposed to be moving fast, he just walked from one place to the other, but it looked kind of weird. And Pretty Deadly has like the old slow motion John Morrison. So it looks like they just did the exact same thing there, where they kind of just it's a little delay for us. Like he's just doing normal stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like, you know, when we're actually seeing him, like seeing the entrance, it's actually 7 seconds after he actually did that, you know, or something like that. So they can kind of take that delay and then add the effects in or whatever. It's kind of what I'm, you know, the immediate thought that I had. But I feel like they get to tweak it a little bit. It just seemed so weird. I don't want to say uncanny valley, but kind of like it didn't seem real. And I know that's kind of what they're going for, but it didn't seem real in a bad way, not in a good way. I'm not down on it. I just think they need to tweak it to make it look a little bit better.
Sean, you got anything else for us?
Yeah. Bron Breakker's not doing it for me, and that bothers me. I know he's a good talent. I just think he's kind of miscast as a babyface. I guess it's a lead baby face for NXT because he's such a bad – he sounds like Bully Ray Dudley. I can't get that out of my mind, and he's going to keep talking.
Oh, my God.
He looks and sounds like Bully Ray, and that's all
now
I'm
that,
thinking.
Now that you say that,
down.
Now that you say that, I'm not going to be able to get that out of my head.
It's just Aces and Eights Bully Ray. That's all it is, and I like that Bully Ray. That was the best book. That was the best Bubba, Bully, whatever to me. That was the best incarnation of him he ever had. And I want him to go that route because I keep hearing it, and it's, you know, it's something that no one's doing right now. It's also something – his Ryback tried to be Bully Ray, too, at one point. And I think it's a great character that only one person could really pull off, and he couldn't do it. You know, there's no Scott Steiner in the business right now. So you can let Bron Breakker just kind of take that role as Bully Ray. Right. As Bully Ray and Scott Steiner kind of combined, and even a little bit of Goldberg, because that's who he is. Are you guys feeling him as the champion or the top babyface, or am I missing something?
I felt him since the beginning of his championship run. So
yeah, if you're missing it, so am I. Because I just, it's funny when he's not on screen. I'm never thinking about him. I'm never missing him, and I'm not thinking about the championship at all.
Yeah.
I too like him more than I thought I was going to. I mean, they gave him degree of difficulty. They named him Bron Breakker. So they made sure that he had a hill to climb to have me like him at all. I think that he has gotten somewhat better. I think he maybe has gotten as better that a Steiner can get. I don't know if the ceiling for the Steiner, it ain't going to be poetry, folks, with a Steiner out there. It is very straightforward. You know what you've got, and you just pray he doesn't mispronounce too many words. Or...
Wow, man.
I mean,
Tommaso Ciampa.
Could you hear you say that? You were like, wow.
I mean,
I know what you mean, though. I know what you mean.
I think of Scott yelling, "You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of." Like, there are more letters in that word, Scott.
Senor Joe.
Yeah, it's I think that there's a hard cap on what he's going to be able to do. I know he looks right-ish. I mean, he looks like kind of like a high school wrestler D-bag, which is great because you can heal that up all the way to the bank. And then maybe go babyface with him afterwards. But it just seems like right now, if I'm Vince or whoever is in charge, supposedly in his absence, I'm not even thinking about calling him up because I just still don't know exactly what I have with him. And I really, really, really hope we get to see a true heel run from him before they move him up. But we know that when this company feels like they've found the next great big baby face, they won't turn them for almost any reason. Like, they never turned Cena back, and they resisted turning Roman for many years, even when it was clear that he had a natural place and it wasn't on the babyface side of the ledger.
When he killed Braun Strowman, or at least attempted to kill him?
I was there. I was there when Braun Strowman was killed in the trash compactor at TLC. And we chanted that
Corbin
was murder. We chanted that was murder, and then Claudio just like shrugged his shoulders like, what are you going to do?
Murder's murder. Can't stop it.
Yep. It's going to happen.
It's
you're
just murder wrestling.
Wrestling. Murder.
Surprised they got rid of a guy that they tried to kill several times. I mean, they tried to tell him to leave, but you know, I'm surprised they got rid of Braun Strowman. I almost said Breaker. I'm so surprised they got rid of him. And then you look down in NXT and you're like, man, I can't send this guy up, you know, whoever it may be. He's like, nah, he's not ready. That guy's not ready. And it's just, I think it's slim picking. I don't want to go too far. I got here a little bit late. I don't think you guys got to the Battle Royal. I don't want to get in too far into it. But
we started with
the
Battle Royal. Yep.
Oh, okay, good. So there just seem like a lot of women that have a good future in NXT, and some that probably should be moving on some kind of way. We talked about Indy a week or two ago. And Zoe Stark's now back. I would think that, you know, some people have to move up or move on or move over. Any idea who that might be? Because, like, Ivy now needs some sort of singles push. Cora Jade's now healed. She's going to get some sort of push. And, like, who's next and where are they going?
Yeah, this is the time for the churn. Because in interviews, Triple H and everybody, they've been clearly produced to refer to the churn, which is you're going to make it or you're not going to make it, and that's going to happen much faster than it did in Black and Gold, either way, whether you make it or not. They talked about faster call-ups and definitely a faster turnaround for people who don't feel like they're progressing, but as we've also talked about, if they really, really like you for some reason, then it doesn't matter if you're not progressing. They'll keep you around anyway. I don't know what the next – it's amazing how many women they have for a company that got rid of so many in such a small amount of time. They've got so many pieces of talent. It's probably easier for me to work backwards and say who I think definitely needs to stick around. Yulisa and Valentina are must-haves. I like what Kayden and Katana have kind of – Kayden is more must-have than Katana, but I think together it's kind of working. I don't know how many more absolute must-haves you have. I'm glad we're starting to see what we've got with Cora Jade in this role. I thought that it was a nice – I felt exactly the way that Bruce wrote it in his recap. I would have loved this, but since her Cora's not totally there with her delivery. I liked it. And that's how I felt as well. So she's got, there's work to do there, but I think it can happen. Indy, I don't think is a must have. I like her. I feel like they're sweeping it under the rug because they made a couple of puns to joke about her mess up in the main event. She even referenced slips and slides along the way. Like there were a couple of puns relating to her not having the greatest match outing last week. So clearly they're, and they gave her mic time. They put her out there and then she went final five or maybe four, I think five in the Battle Royal. So I don't know. I don't know when you start cutting. I think it's time to move some up, but they didn't do themselves any favor by getting rid of so many TV ready pieces of talent. They also aren't doing themselves any favors by putting people like Shotzi and Xia Li on the main roster and then not doing anything with them. Not much anyway. So Bruce, who's moving on up out?
I would say I want her to stay in NXT longer because there's still some more polishing a little bit, and I really like her character. But I've said it before, and I don't think Tiffany Stratton's going to be here much longer. She's – how do I put this without making it sound very like a backhanded compliment to other people? She is definitely prepared to be a character and wrestler on Raw if their acts on Raw are the example we have to use. So if I had to pick one, I would say Tiffany Stratton, though I don't think that they should do that, nor I don't think they necessarily have to call anyone up. We just got done talking about how we don't even think about Bron Breakker and the NXT Championship, and that's because they've had a lot going on in good ways for the most part within the women's division and for a lesser extent on the men's tag team division. So I don't necessarily think you have to move anybody. With Ivy Nile, I think they're definitely going towards a tag team with her and Tatum Paxley. So that's one I would write off as staying on NXT. I think they still have enough space to not necessarily need to move anybody just because Zoe Stark came back.
Bruce, let me real quick. Do you still think they got tag teams? And this is a real question. Do you still think they got women's tag teams like after this? Like they're gonna have a tournament or something, or? Because you said Nile.
It doesn't
and,
matter if the title.
Tag.
I mean, Kaden Carter and Katana Chance are still a tag team. Luis Leona and Valentina Ferois are still a tag team. They still have tag teams. They always had women's tag teams even when they didn't have titles. So it's not like they only can only have tag teams if there's a tag team championship to worry about. But I just feel like what's really been keeping NXT 2.0 afloat really in 2022 has been the women's division and the men's tag team division. And because of that, I don't necessarily think you need to necessarily take away from that. Now, if Io Shirai also comes back, then I think you might want to think about sending someone to Raw or SmackDown. But right now, I don't necessarily think that is something you have to do. Though if you do end up sending someone, I think the person most ready and the person who won't flounder or get eaten up by the churn on Raw or SmackDown is Tiffany Stratton.
Nate?
Nikita Lyons, get her out of my hair. I kind of agree with
biscuit outfits? Her, what was it, cookie dough outfit?
Yeah, not really.
I thought of that 2 hours ago. I wasn't trying to think of it. It just came to my head because my mind works the way it does. And I'm like, okay, I just got to not say it.
Nate just wants to at least booty Giuliani to 2 million viewers. That's all.
Yeah, something like that. But I mean, yeah, you know, Shirai to the main roster is kind of like a no brainer. There aren't many. Tiffany Stratton is definitely somebody that I think could, you know, like Bruce said, you could pluck her right out of NXT, put her on the main roster. She'd be fine. I don't think she's ready just yet, but I think she could be. And it's, and I'm surprised I'm saying this, but Lash Legend. Her in-ring ability still needs some work.
No.
Her in-ring,
character-wise, she's definitely there.
No.
Character-wise, she's there.
She's more there than Omos is there in the ring too. So I mean, it's not like
You know, she's not the greatest in the ring. I'll give you that, but she's better than Nikita Lyons for sure. And she's certain every time she's in the ring, she improves. Whereas, you know, you can't say that for necessarily everybody, but her character is somebody, especially with Sasha Banks gone, I feel like Lash Legend is similar enough to Sasha Banks where, like, I almost feel like Vince could kind of take her and almost put her in that Sasha-type spot. So, I don't
loud
know.
Black
it, it's
girl?
A,
I said
what's
it.
That?
You did. It's okay. I said loud black girl. I said it. You did. It's okay. You're fine.
Yeah, basically, you know.
Okay.
Kind of, sort of.
I say
but like,
that, but that's what that's what came to mind. It's not
well,
wrong.
Yeah,
it's not wrong.
They could have just said no and said no, bossy characters, but no, he just walked right into that one.
I thought he was
you know,
no,
but
shut time. It down. The podcast's over.
Yep, we're done. We're done. It's over. But no, I mean, you know, I definitely think Lash Legend is at a spot, at least character wise. Where she could easily hit the main roster. So, but yeah, that's, I'm going to stop talking before I put my foot back in my mouth.
I didn't set you up for that. Bianca Belair would be like the opposite of that. So it is kind of a role, and that's kind of how Sasha was in the beginning. Like that was her role when they were saying Sasha was ratchet. So it wasn't a backhanded compliment or nothing like that, but that is a particular little role. I kind of like it. I like Lash Legends. Character a lot, actually. I like her mic work when she's not like corny and rhyming and stuff, like it's a 1990s cartoon with black characters in it. You know, just be normal. You don't have to be Roadblock from G.I. Joe. You know what I mean?
I think
you
missed your Alexa Bliss line from earlier, Kelly.
It is back.
No, I heard that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, you know,
there was so much rhyming. I wish I'd written it all down.
They do that. It's like this weird mechanism. It's like, when in doubt, rhyme. I've noticed that throughout my 40 years of watching wrestling. When in doubt, just rhyme, man. People will think it's cool. No, it's not. It's the opposite. We get on our nerves. Stop trying to be cute with everything. Remember when Ronda Rousey did it, the title something? Well, she was just using a pun, but it was horrible. Like, she's a heel now because of it. I'm hoping the churn doesn't get rid of too many people, but I ask that because I saw the potential through all the horrible, ridiculous spots in the Battle Royale. I saw the potential of the people doing them, and I think that was the point of the Battle Royale, looking back on it, is that, hey, we got some people, some real talent that can do some things, and we want to see where they all can fit because, you know, years from now, that's a Royal Rumble. You know, the people in the ring, not all of them are going to make it, but, like, that's a Royal Rumble minus a couple legends. And by then, the legends would be like, you know, Becky and Asuka and stuff, and Bayley and stuff like that. So that's what got me thinking about it, just who stuck out in your mind and who should move where. I think at the moment they don't have to move anyone, but I think if one person moves, or a group of people move, you kind of have to start shifting everyone. And we talked a little bit about how Toxic Attraction might move up. I don't know if they do. I mean, JC Jane just seems like she's going to sink Mandy and Gigi immediately when they get there. And that's if they give her a mic. Hopefully they don't, but... that's pretty much all I got. I'll let you guys get back to it and talk about how this man stole someone else's soul, like Shang Tsung, with a name change.
Yeah. Well, there we go. I'll tell you what, I thought Mandy was going to sink Gigi and JC. So, So I guess that didn't happen. Not yet. But I think they could both sink Gigi. But oh well. There you go. Those are our calls. Let me go to a couple of emails, and then we will see if there's anything left in the show. We kind of sideswiped almost everything, but we didn't fully cover much of anything. But, you know, wish I had my email from the show open, but I have my personal email open. Here we go. Brian Alston says, hello, friends. Great news on the July 22nd edition of SmackDown. Maximum Male Model spokesperson Max Dupree is going to introduce his sister, Maxine. I haven't heard who's going to be Maxine. Question, if you can take one woman from NXT and have her become Maxine Dupree, who would it be? Remember to go Torch VIP. Then on Saturdays, you can listen to the VIP exclusive NXT 8 Years Back podcast. This week, Kelly and Tom Stepp review the July 23rd, 2014 edition, where all four NXT champions have matches. In addition, this week's movie trivia talks about the Final Destination franchise. Finally, I hope you spoke the name Dupree correctly. Thanks, Brian Alston. You know, I know there's a way they're saying it, but I don't watch it, so I don't know.
Dupree.
I don't normally watch it. Okay, I did hear somebody say that, I think, on a podcast. I catch
Reed
it when
Barrett.
I catch it. That hasn't been much.
Wade Barrett said it last
week. Yes, that's why I heard it. I heard Wade Barrett say it. Yeah, I don't know who Maxine Dupree is supposed to be. I guess if they want to play fast and loose with the ages that siblings can be, it could be Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah.
Otherwise, nobody else
from the rumblings that I've been hearing on the internet, people are thinking it's Ginny from UK.
Oh, the other rumblings I've been hearing, people are going to, are pissed if it's being Bailey.
Okay.
I'd be pissed if it was Bailey too.
Yeah. I think Bailey would be pissed if it was Bailey.
Ginny makes sense.
She got the whole Bailey thing going on. Yeah, Ginny does make sense as a character 100%. So I'll go with that, Brian. All right. This email is from Steve in Cleveland. Certainly one could say Cora Jade had some smarmy tendencies from way back. Perhaps petulant is the best word to describe her now. Even more accurate, unlikable and unlikable heels make wrestling companies money. Tonight's promo and belt drop was truly a breakout moment. Yeah. All the moments were there. She is okay at what she's doing. The story beats in this have more or less worked. They've been real, real obvious, every single story beat. But whatever. They kept it simple. They did it. It's fine. I don't know that this is like breakout for her, but I think the best case scenario is we can point to this as the first step towards an absolute true breakout. I still think it could happen, but I think that this was a building block rather than a blow up moment. Like, she is not ready by any means for the main roster. She'd get swallowed up right now.
Uh-huh.
And let me go to this last email from JB. Hi, team. It's JB from Detroit. With Gacy quite obviously looming over the Grimes-McDonough match, it seems to me like the next storyline will be Gacy trying to recruit Grimes, who has fallen on hard times and can't get it done the right way. I'm not sure why the aesthetics of Grimes-Gacy and the dyad do have a bit of similar feel to the original Wyatt family. I didn't read this before, which I know was suggested early on what Gacy was going for. What do you guys think the potential of this group is? What does the group look like? Who's in it? And how long is too long for Grimes in NXT? And he said, also the UK titles. Yeah, both of these were before they were revealed. Also, the UK tag titles being defended on NXT proper has serious ROH on AEW vibes. Yeah, real cool how everybody's chanting USA during the NXT.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Oh, wrestling fan's gonna wrestling fan. I don't know that I think there's a real high ceiling on Gacy and the dyad. I think that people will make comparisons to something that didn't happen very long ago, and the comparisons will not be good. People are already going hard, kind of joking on Zach Gibson and the way he looks. They're saying he looks really weird without a beard, which, yeah. And they're making fun of the one contact. He doesn't look weird without a beard. We just haven't seen it. So it looks weird in the moment. And then there's the contact. It's just such a, I don't know, it seems like such a low rent gimmicky thing to do with the one eye. And it just didn't need to change. I think that this will not be compared favorably. Bruce, on any of the emails.
So first, I agree that it's probably Tiffany Stratton because character-wise, it fits. She's, like I said earlier, she's the most ready, I think, to be plugged in and not get lost of the people on NXT right now in the women's division. So there's that. What was the second question that he brought up?
Which one? This last one?
Or the second email, I should say.
Cora Jade.
Oh, right. So with Cora Jade, Kelly, let me ask you a question. What is the first thing you do to someone who just went to the bad guy side, the evil side, the dark side?
What is the first thing I do?
In general. What
pat
is
him on the back.
You dress him in all black, right? And so Cora Jade came
right.
out.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Dressed in,
right.
Dressed in all black. Just very expected, I guess, which it was something I was hoping we wouldn't have seen in that situation. It just was too predictable. Like you said, I wrote my report. It would have been a great promo if she didn't flub a couple times and if she had more confidence. You can tell she's still trying to figure it out, which is just fine. But what prevented the promo from becoming a standout great promo? Like Kelly said, it was a great building block. Her putting the thing in the title in the trash can. I wouldn't say it was a breakout moment more than I would say it was another building block moment to get over who she is as a character now. This vindictive, selfish, narcissistic heel who thinks that everything that happened to Roxanne Perez is because of her and that Perez is taking opportunities away from her because that's how she views things. And so to me, I can see how it makes sense to her, I can buy it and it makes sense to me. I'm still not quite sold on her yet. But I think that I'm much more interested in her now than I ever was with her as a face. So that's a positive. If she can just work out those kinks on the mic, then I think this character will have far more potential than whatever she had as a baby face. A baby face who is committing felonies, we should add, just because everyone in NXT commits felonies. So there's that. And what was the last email on?
The Gacy, Gacy,
right. I'm guessing the only reason people draw similarities to the Wyatt family beyond the spookiness is because it's another long-haired white guy with a beard. So there's that much. The thing with Gibson, and I just thought of it while you were talking, is he looks like he belongs as one of the side characters in the prison TV show Oz. So yeah, just do with that what you will. It almost like they're dressed up for the prison production of their play or whatever, whatnot. So Gacy, again, it's odd because they're putting a better talker under a worse talker and better wrestlers under a worse wrestler. And it's not like he's a full-on manager. He still wrestles. So it's not MVP managing someone else. It's as if I don't know, who's not a great wrestler on Raw or SmackDown right now? It's like if a Baron Corbin was managing people. I think Baron Corbin's a good wrestler. It's just someone who didn't like was managing people while still wrestling. And so it's kind of weird in that regard.
Man, you nailed that analogy.
Hey, that PhD comes in handy at times, you know what I'm saying? As Cam reminded me on Twitter, I said Cal Couture for when Pretty Deadly came out, and he said Cal Tour was right there, and I said, hey, my PhD is obviously not in basic creativity. So, you know, just a banner day for me all around. Good color commentary, just great, great analogies and all this creativity. I'm just having a great day. I just don't know what to do with this whole Gacy thing because they seem insistent on presenting him and this group as they are without any sort of, I don't know, awareness of how people are receiving them. So, beyond that, I do think, going back to Axiom real quick, he should contact Montez Ford and ask him what workout regimen he's been on the last 6 to 8 months or whatever it's been.
Nate, anything on those emails?
All right. So, yeah, it was. I was muted. I thought I might be able to get away without anybody noticing, but I guess
got
I got got. I got got. All right. So just because I still have JB's email open on my screen, so I don't think that there's a huge ceiling for this team. Yeah, the comparisons are there to the Wyatt family. We've made them. Other people have made them. I don't know. They're when you take a team like Grizzled Young Vets and you strip away everything that made them awesome and put them with somebody that's a lot less awesome than they were, just like Bruce was saying, it's hard to, I don't know. It's kind of hard to get into it. Like I said earlier tonight, I'm going to give it a couple weeks and see where this goes, but I don't have high hopes for the Dyad. And I really hope they don't recruit Cameron Grimes. I mean, I guess it might be interesting to see, you know, how he kind of handles all of that. But at the same time, I don't know. I'd like to see Joe Gacy hold on to the Dyad and kind of like the way that the current incarnation, I guess, and hopefully build himself and Dyad up to be more of a credible, stable. I don't know exactly what that entails. I mean, obviously some wins and some crazy angles and things like that. But right now it's just, I don't know, that reveal was just so lackluster. I mean, we kind of all knew who it was going to be anyway. And then to see Grizzled Young Vets just kind of stripped of everything that makes them cool was, I don't know, a little, it was disheartening and a bit of a letdown, I guess is the best way I can put it. So for Cora Jade, I think I don't think it was necessarily a breaking out moment, but I think it was probably as close as you could get to one without it actually being one. She was light years ahead of where she was last week tonight. On the mic, she felt like she was much more comfortable delivering a heel style promo than she's ever felt delivering a face promo. She felt much more authentic. So I have high hopes for this character. I really do. I don't know if she's gonna be able to pull it off. I think she probably can. You know, like Bruce said, you know, there's a couple flubs and whatnot that, you know, kind of took it away from being, like a perfect breaking out moment type of a deal. But I think it's just going to come with experience and age. I mean, she's still very young. She's still very new to the business, especially in this type of environment. So I don't know. I've got really high hopes for a heel version of Cora Jade. I'm much more intrigued by this character than I ever have been by anything else that she has done. I think it's definitely got some legs. So we'll see how it pans out, but I like it so far. And then from, you know, Brian Alston, I have no idea who's going to join Max Dupree, or however they're pronouncing it, Dupree on SmackDown. I don't think it's going to be Tiffany Stratton simply because I feel like she still has more to do down in NXT. It could be her. I wouldn't necessarily be like super surprised if it was, but I don't think it is. Cause I think she still gets some more time down in NXT to, you know, hone her craft and her character. You know, I've said it before. I mean, she could certainly be picked out of, you know, this out of NXT and put right on the main roster and be fine. But, I'd be surprised if it was Ginny from the UK makes the most sense to me. But, you know, we'll see what happens on Friday. But I think that that's about it for the emails.
All right. I don't know that I need heavy coverage of anything else left. JDB Grimes, 13 minutes and change. Roddy Strong got in the cheap shot and beat Damon Kemp. Briggs and Jensen successfully defend against Pretty Deadly. Pretty Deadly for me, probably the most main roster ready act that there is. Axiom defeats Dante Chen and the Women's Battle Royal. We got a little bit of stuff with Tony D and the crew. They will be facing the entirety of Diamond Mine next week. The four men against the four men. That will be next week. In addition to Zion Quinn versus Apollo Crews, and Zion Quinn going hard with the X Factor as part of his That's part of his catchphrasing. He's not. He's got to be a lot better and more interesting on Twitter if he wants to be X-Pac. That's a great follow, is X-Pac. So if you guys want to cover anything, Nate, anything you wanted to hit that we haven't?
Not really. I think for the most part, everything that – oh, there was one thing that I did want to mention that I forgot to mention. We were talking about women, potential women call-ups. The only one that we did not bring up that I think could be Alba Fire. I meant to mention that a while ago. I think you could definitely take her and bring her up the main roster, and everything would be good. Other than that, I think I said everything I wanted to say tonight, and I can't think of anything else. So I'll pass it to Bruce to see if he's got anything.
I'll be quick. Still liking what I'm seeing out of Wesley. It's really refreshing to see Zion Quinn not trying so hard, just feeling comfortable in the character that he is, which is a smarmy asshole. So I'm assuming that's who he really is in real life. But it's nice to see him actually, I guess, embodying the character. Will the X-Factor get over? Who knows? Maybe he'll start calling his running forearm the X-Factor, his finisher. But I'm liking what I see from them. It's interesting, too, that Grayson Waller wasn't even on the show, yet he was mentioned by several people on the show. So it really shows, I guess, how intricate he is to the ecosphere of the singles division or singles men's division within NXT. So he might not be going up as quickly as we might assume because of just how many people have been dropping his name today. I think, as you said, last week and this week, they found a really good rhythm to how they want to do their sort of match vignette, match promo balance, and it's worked well the past few weeks. I think coming out of Great American Bash, they've been able to reassess and kind of refocus where they need to go moving forward, and I think that is showing within the last 2 weeks, and I think tonight was one of the better episodes of recent memory.
And I will say only that the only thing I missed is who was that girl in the barbershop? Because, damn. I'm Kelly Wells. You can find me all over social media at Spooky Milk or at spookymilk.games. Bruce.
I'm Bruce Lee Hazelwood. You can find me on Twitter at B_Lee253.
And Nate, yeah, after all this time, I still want to throw to Tom, but he's not here. Nate, go ahead.
At Tom Stope, no. At Nate Lindberg on Twitter. Again, I do the hits and misses for NXT 2.0. So go to pwtorch.com, check it out. Let me know what you think.
Cheers, folks. We will see you in 7 minutes.